They say a man's worst fear is to die alone. And as I looked at the crowd that was surrounding me, I began to realize that my fear was that I too might die alone. For as I looked around at this angry mob, none of them were my friends. None of them were my family. None of them were the people that I had spent and worked and served with over the past few years. As I looked around at the crowd, I didn't know a single person. And I realized that my worst fear might come true. I might die alone. Of course, I'd always been kind of a loner. My parents are from Greece. You can tell by my name, Stefan, that I am not from Jerusalem. My parents relocated back to Jerusalem. We were Jews. We were good Jews. As a matter of fact, I knew the Torah very well. I studied the temple with Gamaliel. I knew my Torah very well, not only in Aramaic, but in Greek. But because my family were Hellenistic Jews, we felt like outcasts. We didn't feel like we were pure Jews. We felt like we were a little bit alone. Of course, Peter changed all that. Peter, that wonderful fisherman, that man with the wonderful voice, the gregarious personality, you had to have met Peter. He was a fantastic man. People loved Peter. I was there on Pentecost that day when he preached that powerful sermon about Jesus Christ rising from the dead, when he told the words about Jesus Christ and how he'd healed all the people. I was there, I saw it, and I felt it, and I knew at that point that Jesus Christ was my Savior, and that I would follow him wherever I would go. That day when Peter preached, there were 3,000 of us that came to faith. It was Peter's idea, actually, that we should be baptized in the tomb of Jesus. And so I went down to the empty tomb where Jesus no longer was, where his body had risen, and it was there that I was baptized and became a follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, those were so good days. Back then, there was so many people coming to know Jesus Christ, and it was such a life-changing experience because now, finally, this is what we had been waiting for. We had been waiting for this time when people would realize that life is bigger than what we see, that there are more important things in life than just day-to-day living, and we felt purpose. We felt power. We felt the Holy Spirit. People were coming daily and selling things and bringing it to the disciples' feet. And there at the disciples' feet, the disciples would distribute all these goods to those who were in need, especially the poor widows. As a matter of fact, we were such a strong and powerful movement that eventually the disciples couldn't care for all of it. And so they decided that they would pick seven men to take on this work, to distribute the goods to the widows. I was one of those men chosen, along with Nicanor and Timon and a bunch of other men. We were chosen to be a part of this group, in leadership of this group. And it was a wonderful feeling. And when you are in this leadership position, you realize that it is more than just distributing these things to the needy. It becomes part of your life, and you proclaim daily, everywhere you go, about the good news of Jesus Christ, about how he rose from the dead, about his teachings. It's a wonderful thing. But the Sanhedrin, they didn't like us too much. As a matter of fact, they had already tried to get Peter and John. They hauled Peter and John before them, and they tried to commit them with the crime, but they walked away. Peter and John were too powerful. They had too large of a following them. But I knew they wanted us. I knew that they wanted to get at us. They felt that if they could kill a few of us, that this whole movement would go away. They knew they couldn't go after Peter and John. So they did the next best thing. They came after us, the elders. Specifically, they came after me. I was in the temple court one day when an angry crowd came up to me and they hauled me before the Sanhedrin and they said to me, "We believe you've been blaspheming against God." Well, blaspheming is a very serious charge. It's a charge that carries with it death, but there was nobody around that could say that I had blasphemed against God because I hadn't blasphemed against God. But they had already planned in advance of what they were going to do. They brought witnesses into the temple court. And there each one of these witnesses said, yes, I heard Stephen blaspheming God. It was a false charge. I hadn't blasphemed God at all. But with all these witnesses saying that I had, the Sanhedrin looked at me and they said, what do you have to say about this charge? What would I say? Would I tell them the truth about what I believe to my core? And if I did that, there's a very good chance that I would die. Or would I go away and say, no, that's not what I said? I prayed to God for strength. And I said, this is what I believe. This is what I have learned from birth, and this is what I believed. That God came to Abraham. That God made a covenant with Abraham that he would be a great nation. And Abraham was a great nation until there was a famine in the land, and then they went to Egypt. And then another Pharaoh came in that didn't know the Egyptian, that didn't know the Israelites, and he put them into slavery. And the Israelites prayed to God for deliverance. And a man came, Moses, was ordained by God to come and deliver the Israelites. And that was a wonderful time in our history when Moses came and he delivered the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And we crossed over the Red Sea. We got a new promised land. We had kings. And it was a king that built this temple here. And that is what I believe. And folks, none of that was in opposition to what they believed. Would I stop or would I continue? I continued. I said, God raised up another person, Jesus of Nazareth, the righteous one. And he is the true one that you've been seeking. And Jesus Christ, the one that you killed, rose again. And he is the one that you should be following. And what's more, because of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit and God no longer dwells just in the temple, but he dwells in all of his believers, me included. That's where God dwells. I said it. Well, the Sanhedrin was absolutely furious. And so they threw me out into the courtyard, and this loud, angry mob of people picked up the stones. And I looked around at the angry crowd, and I realized that I was alone. Not a single one of them was a friend or family or somebody that I knew. I was alone in the world, and I was afraid. But as I stood there, an even deeper fear encompassed me than the fear of dying alone. I began to think, what if it is all a joke? What if Jesus really didn't rise from the dead? What if my baptism in his tomb was meaningless? What if the Sanhedrin is right? What if the Sanhedrin is absolutely convinced that when they kill me, the whole movement will fall apart? Maybe God doesn't want me to die now. Maybe he wants me to go out and continue spreading the good news. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten myself in this position, and if I just recant, everything will be fine. What if God is leaving me? You'll remember that when Jesus died, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Even Jesus himself died alone. Maybe I too was going to die alone. Not with family, not with friends, not even with God. The fear overwhelmed me, but then I saw it. Up into the heavens, the clouds parted, and there in front of me was God the righteous one, and seated at his right hand was Jesus of Nazareth, of whom I believed. And I saw him up there with all the clouds and all the glory and all the cherubim and the seraphim. And I knew that it wasn't a lie. I knew that he was there. My fear of being alone, he was there with me all the time. And he never left me, even when the crowd finally came and had their way with me. I was not the last martyr. I was the first, but I was not the last. Those apostles, they too were killed, all except for John. Each one of them were killed for their faith. Also Barnabas, Timothy, Luke, all of them too were killed for their faith, died for their faith. But even today, there are martyrs joining the cloud of witnesses with us in heaven. In the last 100 years alone, there have been more martyrs for Jesus Christ than in the 1900 years since his death. People are dying everywhere because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The Sanhedrin thought that it would stamp us out, but it didn't. It made us more powerful and more bold, and that we were able to take the message of the gospel to all of the ends of the world. It wasn't able to stamp us out. I don't want to leave you with a false impression. I don't want to leave you with the impression that you have to die for your faith in order to join us in the cloud of witnesses. All of the work was done at the cross on Calvary. Jesus Christ does it all. And when Jesus Christ has bought and purchased your life, you become, like me, an apostle of him. And you will die in the faith. And you will join the great cloud and company of witnesses. And you will join the company of witnesses that has proclaimed Jesus Christ from my moment of death until this day. Jesus Christ died for you. In his name, amen.